Seeing this end. Whirring round and round. Four, three, two, one.
Well, a very good day to you from Cool Logistics, and welcome to this session, which is very kindly sponsored by the Port of Rotterdam, which is going to be a panel session. We have 1 hour, and we've got three excellent panelists with us this afternoon or this evening, or depending on where you're watching us from. We've got Franklin from B. Frank Bananas, who was a key speaker last year, and is looking at how he can stimulate addressing the imbalance in the supply chain, so that the grower gets more benefit from his products. We've got Michael from Total Produce, who is going to be telling about his work, and Matthias from WUR and the research that they're doing in the post-harvest activities. We're going to be asking our panelists to give us their views on five topics. The first one on general developments. What are the current developments, putting COVID aside? The second one on how COVID has changed the supply chain, and the third one on trends, sustainability and digitization in the marketplace, and then asking them to look ahead at the future and their ideal for what the perfect supply chain might look like, which I guess would be with any zero waste, I imagine. Without further ado, I'm going to ask each panelist to just to introduce themselves and tell us about what they do, and then we'll dive straight into the topic. If I may, I'm going to ask Franklin to introduce himself.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Franklin. I'm from the Netherlands. After I started within Chiquita Banana Company in 1994, and in 1998, sorry, 2018, I resigned to my job within Chiquita to introduce, let's say, my own banana brand, which is the first true price banana in the world. As you know, in the current banana business, the exporters are working most of the times with rainforest and fair trade, so they feel that they kind of tick the box so they can supply retail formats across Europe, which is the case currently, as you can see the ad that Lidl has posted today, that they moved to 100% Rainforest Alliance certified fruit. We do believe as a company within B. Frank that we have to go much farther, because our responsibility does not stop after we produce the fruit. So that's why we launched in 2019 B. Frank Bananas. And what is our main topic? There are a couple of them. First of all, our base certification is fair trade as a certification. And next to that, we also, let's say, put the hidden cost that comes out of the production of bananas and social and environmental, we put them into our price. So there are some variables in the banana business, like social security, overtime, land use, security on the job, and garbage that are not taken into the price. And we do believe we have to stop it. So we decided to work with fair trade, because this certification already allows us to lower the, let's say, the hidden cost with almost 50%. So we reduced the hidden cost from, if you look to the numbers, from €6.95 a box of 18 kilo to approximately around €3.73, which is around 21 cents a kilo. We do believe that we are a company that wants to help the total banana value chain. So it's not that we are only focused on B. Frank, but we also hope that other companies, like the big, let's say, exporters, also share our mission. so we can have, let's say, together a huge impact on the industry. Finally, our main target is that the consumer will see again the value of a box of bananas or a kilo of bananas, and we do believe that selling a banana for $2.49 a kilo is a reasonable price, so everybody can have their fair share into the returns of 1 kilo of bananas. That's it.
Franklin, thank you very much for that. We wish you continued good luck with that really important project. So now we're going to move to our next panelist. It's Michael Jansen, who's the Managing Director of Total Produce, also in the Netherlands. Michael, welcome. And please unmute yourself before you start to speak.
Thank you, Steve. You already introduced me. Managing Director of Total Produce, part of the Total Produce Group, currently the largest fresh produce company in the world, with operations around the globe. The company I'm responsible with is an overseas importer. We're specialized in non-European produce. We are particularly strong in melons and citrus. We have, as a company, and myself with that, a long history in logistics. The overseas import business has always been very much, let's say, involved in the overseas, in the logistics. We were one of the founding fathers and also shareholders in the fruit terminal in Rotterdam until, let's say, that business got more or less stopped because of the containerization. No more conventional vessels were able to call Rotterdam, and there were different solutions for discharging fruit other than in the conventional way in the fruit terminal. Nevertheless, I think logistics remains an important part of our business. We took a bold decision in 2017 to outsource our logistics. We still had, at that time, a 15,000 square meter cold store with our own people in the port of Rotterdam on the quayside. But we decided to outsource. We were the first customer for Coolport, handing over our logistics business to professionals, which is, I think, one of the developments we're seeing around our business, our market. People are looking for professional service providers to take up the logistics job. And that the logistics job has changed a bit. It used to be very basic discharging, cold storage, and loading onto to the customer's lorries. Today, it's a much more integrated job, including value-added services. And what you see at the moment is service providers who combine those functions. And to be honest, that is definitely a setup that's interesting for us, but for the importing sector as a whole. I think that's enough as an introduction as far as I'm concerned, Steve.
Thank you very much indeed, Michael, for your introduction. Nice introduction. And let's move on to Matthias.
Thank you, Steve. I was trying to unmute smoothly. Thanks you for the introduction. I'm working for Wageningen University and Research within Wageningen Food and Bio-Based, which is a research institute. We are doing contract research for many companies and institutions in the world. I'm working as a business development manager in the research program, post-harvest quality. and we are dealing with projects regarding the product itself, the fresh produce, flowers, vegetables and fruits. We try to understand the physiological processes to enhance and predict product quality. And if we know that we can improve shelf life by adding technology, quality control during transport and storage, that means that we can, of course, we apply cold refrigeration, improve the cold chain, but that also means that you apply packaging or coatings or other ways to technologies to improve the quality. And one important part of that research program is quality-driven logistics, where we try to use more and more data and other type of measurements, new measurements to improve quality through the supply chains. And on top of that, we have food system design, if you want to have a broader view, and that's mainly if you talk on country level. So we are working all over the world, but also in different type of projects. It can be consultancy, or it can be a small project or a big project in a consortia. I can tell you about some running projects. One is Fresh On Demand, which is a consortia with over 40 different industrial partners, varying from the breeding companies to the traders, the producers, and the retail. And all together, you have a nice approach of improving the supply chain and then supply chain quality. Another project is Internet of Things and quality controlled logistics. How can we use Internet of Things in quality controlled logistics? And maybe which a project which is more related to BeFrank approach. That is the World Bank project together with the government of Haiti. That's transparent supply chains. And therefore, we developed the standard operation procedures in order that the producer of the mango and avocado of in Haiti is the owner of the produce, and all the stakeholders of the and of the supply chain are service providers. So we don't have logistics companies, or we don't have a buyer as a trader, but they act as a service provider, and therefore they can have some kind of a blockchain approach. So different type of projects, different environments, different points of view, and that's within Wageningen, where we can add our 85 years experience in post-harvest, and that's why we are working in this area.
Thank you very much indeed to all of you, and thank you, Matthias. Very interesting to hear the different things that you're doing, similar to BeFrank, in terms of making supply chains transparent, so that the producer is the owner of the produce. And somebody that has been in the African markets for a long time, it's a big challenge, and it's always difficult for the local grower to provide enough of the product to own his own supply chain and get the benefit of the European pricing that he otherwise wouldn't get. So great initiatives, thank you. So moving on to our first topic, which is really what are the general or current developments beside COVID in the agro-food business supply chains, and what impact do you see these developments having on either business in general or your business? And I'm going to ask Franklin to start, if I may.
Yeah, thank you very much, Steve. Well, I think if you talk about BeFrank in overall, we have of course a couple of challenges. First of all, COVID. When we started our company in March 2020, it was the first week that we had an intelligent lockdown here in the Netherlands. So we well, like everybody, nobody expected a lockdown due to COVID. So we also see that the COVID in our value chain changed a lot from a cost perspective, of course, in our operational part in Ecuador with our exporters, but also with our producers and smallholders. But we also had a big challenge on what is going on for the last decades is materials that are coming with our boxes that are not bananas. So we talk about drugs in overall, which is a big challenge for us because that moved a little bit from Southern America, Colombia to Ecuador. So we see now a lot of threats in that area. So we also changed our logistics in that part because food safety and the safety of the people is very important to us. That's why we also challenge our logistic partners to make sure that this stuff will never arrive in the country where the fruit will send to. So what we have done over the last couple of months is to investigate it, or let's say invest at least into our farms, but also into our logistic hubs to give the people, let's say, body cams so that we can see that what we are loading, which is very important to us. And we also put two different types of scans that we can have temperature loggers into our containers so that we can see every time when a container will be opened that the temperatures are changing and that we immediately take action on that area, because we see that most of the times the stuff will be added after the fruit left, let's say, the farms. What is also important to us is our just-in-time deliveries, especially in banana industry, because most of the times we can store it 1 or 2 weeks at the maximum for our green life, because we have already a logistic time of around 18 days from Guayaquil to Antwerp approximately. And if you have, let's say, a green life of around 30 days, that means that you can have a maximum of 2 weeks guaranteed a green life, which is very important in bananas, because as soon as bananas starts to develop, then you cannot stop the system. So that is why also from a logistic perspective, it's very important that the handling of our containers will be done properly, but also fast, as soon as possible. Because the longer we have to wait for scans, for example, the worse it is for our quality. So that is our challenge with from a logistic perspective, because currently sometimes we will be informed that due to a scan, we will receive our food 5 days later. And that will have an immediate impact of around 40% in our green life.
Thank you very much indeed, Franklin. Clearly some pretty fundamental challenges that you have to address there. And we're talking about a transparent supply chain. It does make one wonder if transparent packaging might be economic and help you in some way. So let's move on to Michelle next, and please give us your overview on general developments as far as you see them.
Yes, Steve, there are two very obvious developments. One is the development to further shorten the chain, make it more cost effective. So basically all sorts of developments aimed at the effectiveness and the cost in the chain. You see things like shipping in bins instead of cartons, which you can also see as part of a second big development, which is already going on for a number of years, which is the need for sustainability, but also for more transparency. There are a lot of developments in that respect. Maybe and those are, I would say, the more obvious ones. An interesting one that we're seeing in the supply chain, particularly in citrus, is, I would say, a shift of power, or at least the balance is shifting a bit. The idea that the retailers, that the market is basically in control of what's happening, prices, demands on how quality should be, et cetera, all sorts of requirements. And the fact that the grower doesn't get maybe what they deserve. We are seeing a shift. I think we're moving more into a seller's market with citrus, which means that growers have so many different markets to choose from. The European market is more demanding on a number of things. Both the customers as well as Brussels are increasing those requirements, and that makes it more difficult to source fruit for the European market. I think that's a trend that we have seen big time this year with huge prices. Okay, the question is how much of that is caused by COVID, but it's not a standalone event. We have seen it over the last few years. It is getting more difficult to source fruit. And for me, that is a shift in the supply chain, or a shift in the balance of the supply chain, and one that could have a big impact on the markets going forward.
Thank you very much for that, Michel. I mean, on the one hand, it's good to see that as something that we've been talking about, that the growers are getting more control over their markets, but clearly it's making your life and your job a lot more difficult. So let's move on to Matthias.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. What you're saying is very interesting about the growers. They try to be in control, but they also have a lot of challenges. From our point of view, you have the social discussions or the social challenges, like the food waste reduction or the sustainability issues, like on packaging or on the use of chemical treatments. Those are restrictions for the producers and all the actors of the supply chain. On the other hand, the consumers, they want to have convenience, so they have the online sales, they want to have all year round supply freshness, they want to have ready to eat concepts. So you have on one hand you have more demands, and you have on the other hand more restrictions. And I think that helps, or that helps, that is needed, that the supply chains have to adapt to that. And then I think I have to add also the climate change, which is also an important part. If you don't have water, or you have more extreme conditions on your production, you have also an impact on your quality in the supply chain itself. And that means also for if I change the packaging type, then I also will have a change in quality in the supply chain. So altogether, you have it's more important that you have more collaboration within the supply chain, and that's what you'll well, we'll discuss later, that you see that there is more datification in the supply chains, which might help to get more transparency, to get more demands, or you can deliver on demands, as I said.
Okay, Matthias, thank you very much indeed. I mean, it's really quite a complicated picture that you're painting there, and there are a number of issues there that we could talk about a little bit longer, but I'm conscious that we've got rather a lot to get through. So, I mean, in summary, you know, Frank's talked about COVID affecting the value chain and the challenges of drugs in banana boxes, and with just-in-time deliveries. That, you know, the last thing that you want is another 5 days delay to your container of bananas, and coping with the change in shelf life there is hugely fundamental. And Michel, looking at shortening the supply chain and changing the way product is shipped into bins instead of cartons, with the slight shift in power towards a seller's market actually making it more difficult for him to source product for the EU. And some complexities there that Matthias has gone through with social challenges as well on food waste and treatment of packaging. So a really good, and it just goes to show the complexity of the business that we're involved in. Thank you, gentlemen. So let's move on to topic number two and talk about the effect that COVID's had. I mean, I imagine some of it's negative, but some of it's been positive, and certainly at some of the port conferences that I've attended, the managing directors of terminals are saying, as a consequence of COVID, they've been able to do in 10 weeks, what they haven't been able to do in 10 years in terms of automating their businesses. So I look forward to hearing what you've got to say, and let's start with Franklin.
Well, I think in overall, like I said in the beginning, COVID also affected us when we started, but it will also brings us lots of opportunities. I think in overall, the consumers are more than ever aware of healthy products. So you see a shift that consumers are eating not only more bananas, but also more oranges, more healthy products, so in fruits, which is very good. They're also, I think, more aware about food safety. Food safety is, and especially if you look at the Chinese market, that food safety is the number one, let's say, high priority in that country. But also on the other hand, COVID also brings, let's say, lots of pressure on the safety of the employees in our production areas, since it is very, very hot over there in Central and South America, and they have to wear their mask, their mouth mask, which is not very easy to cope with. COVID also brought us lots of, let's say, pressure on pricing. Since the beginning of COVID in March this year, you see that the Chinese market was closed at that moment, at least for bananas. So you see that they shifted the volumes, the exporters shifted the volumes across Europe and to the US, which puts lots of pressure on the prices, which is, by the way, still the case, because still we see very low prices and a reasonable demand, at least in retail. COVID also increased the production, let's say, cost because of all the food safety rules, but also the safety of the people. But like I said in the beginning, you also see a positive trend, which is that the fruit will be eaten much more than ever. So from a cost perspective, it is not very good COVID for the banana industry. But if you talk about the volumes, we see a good development in that area. And online, especially online, is growing rapidly, which is mainly driven that the consumers want to have more safety.
Okay, very good summary. And a very graphic illustration of the issues. Thank you, Franklin. So let's move across to Michel. And by the way, Michel, you talked earlier on about the closure of your fruit logistics terminal. I remember the days of conventional shipments, having started off at sea on conventional reefer ships many years ago. So please do give us your feedback for this topic.
Yes. There will be a moment that nobody in the fresh produce industry remembers those conventional vessels anymore. But okay, for the time being, they are still around, but less and less. Look, I don't want to repeat some of the issues that Franklin already brought up. I think what we see is the flexibility of our industry. If I look close at home, our own business, we started working from home early March in our business, in our company, and we have continued to do so until today, with very limited presence in the office. And let's say the IT systems and the way the processes are run basically prove that it is possible, where a year ago we wouldn't think of it. So but that's one proof of the flexibility of our company, but I think it goes for many companies in our industry. But also further away, we've heard many problems in the beginning of the crisis, ranging from problems to get harvest done, problems in the packing stations, congestion in the ports, big delays. There are still problems, but we've been able to cope with many of them. So I think, and I agree with Franklin, some of the measures that have been taken are cost inflating for sure, but the industry has been able to continue its job even under very, very difficult circumstances. In the markets, it is an open door. The food service business has suffered a lot. Restaurants closed or working half capacity. On the other hand, retail and particularly the offline business has grown a lot. So I think for the overall market, it has been a balanced situation. But if you're in the food safety, in the food service part of the market, I'm sure you have a much more dark view on the current situation.
Okay. Thank you, Michel. Matthias, what would you like to add?
Yeah, well, I agree with Michel and Franklin that the online sales are increasing. And so do you have the last mile delivery is developing very fast on fresh produce. And you have consumers, they have, of course, another behavior at the moment due to COVID. So that means that they are having a healthier choice, most likely. But we also have seen also in China when they have an increase in fresh produce consumption. So that means that it is a very typical for this situation. Online business is increasing. That means that there is also another way of delivery, another way of the logistics. To have that done, you also need to have a good business case. So you need to think of reverse logistics to make it profitable. On the other hand, what we've seen in our research that we have many requests from industry to have the modality shift from air freight to sea transport. We want to mainly in the ornamental industry. Air freight was very difficult and very expensive to get. So you want new solutions by reefer containers. So you also have a lot of buffer capacity. So you need to increase your storage life of your fresh produce, and that's a new challenge. And that's also, I think, the future to more and more be able also to buffer in times when you need, so you can act a bit better. But on the other hand, you can also avoid that by have shorter supply chains and local maybe.
Okay. So I mean, the gentleman, we're seeing this shift away from air freight to sea freight. What's happening now what are we doing now that we couldn't do before? Is it just pricing or better supply chain management? Who'd like to answer that?
Well, I think in overall the value chain changed, and I think that flexibility will also help at least the business where I'm in helps a lot. And especially when you cooperate together. So what can be changed is maybe the speed of handling that is affecting us a lot. So if you can ask me what can help us to improve, let's say the value chain, I think that we have to set up more long-term commitment with each other, which is currently most of the times done by a one-year contracts, so that we are able, let's say, at least to share our challenges in logistics, but also in quality and availability, and other things. So we call it in Dutch the way that we cooperate as a team, and not with hufterig gedrag. We call that in Dutch, So we have to do it, let's say, more sustainable and working more together for the long time, so that you can also invest in both ways. So it's not only from a logistic perspective, but also from a supply base perspective. So working more together, would I would embrace that.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for that answer, Franklin. Keeping an eye on the time, I mean, I feel we could spend longer on this, but we have a schedule to get through, and it's a bit of a gallop, I'm afraid. So topic number three is trends in the market, sustainability and digitization. On the one hand, a local for local trend, and on the other hand, the import of more exotics is growing. How do you see these trends and what's driving them? And we've already touched on it, but let's talk a little bit more about climate change and how that will change where and how we source from. Can digitization play a role in these issues? I'm sorry, that's quite a lot of questions in one topic, but it wasn't me that wrote them. So if you've had time to draw breath there, Franklin, can I ask you to kick off?
Yes, of course, no problem. I think in overall, the changes in climate is very accurate in Southern America. You see a lot of changes in dry periods, but also in raining periods. So and that is affecting, let's say, all of the fruit supply. But on the other hand, the customers of the fruit suppliers are also demanding more and more and more. From a quality perspective, they are demanding the best specification. They are demanding 50% of MRL scores. They are demanding just-in-time deliveries. But that's why I was just saying just 5 minutes ago, Steve, that cooperation with each other is very important and very let's say, if you want to have a long-term commitment to each other, you have to do it together. In overall, the environment is changing, which also has an effect on the diseases. If you talk especially about bananas, we have two, major fungus diseases, which is tropical race 4, which is a fusarium, which is affecting, the roots of the banana plant. And that will, demolish the farms, not only on the short term, but also the long term. And we have also, Black Sigatoka, which is a fungus that goes through the air, which is affecting the leaves of the bananas, and will also has an effect on using, chemicals. So the humidity of the countries is very important from a production perspective. So the more humidity you have, the less good it is for bananas, and that's why we also decided to move based on that experience, move to Ecuador, which we have a much less humidity in our farm. So we have to use less chemicals to make sure that we do not have the number of diseases that can affect the quality when the fruit arrives in Europe.
Okay, thank you, Franklin. Let's move to Michel now.
Maybe take a bit of a helicopter view on the business. We have seen now many years of globalization, which has created huge opportunities for the fresh produce industry, both in terms of imports but also export markets. The last couple of years, we see a trend more to nationalism, closing markets, market blocks, protectionism, and to be honest, as an importer, an overseas importer. But I think in general, if you're an operator in the fresh produce industry, that should be a major concern. If we look today at how Brussels is becoming more of a protectionistic, it takes a more protectionistic view, although I must say Europe is still, compared to other markets, a very open place. but there is a lot of measures, whether they are tariff barriers or non-tariff barriers, that that basically make it more difficult going forward to import. But for export companies, Dutch horticultural companies, it is also challenging because some of the traditional markets also become more difficult. Phytosanitary measures are often one of those non-tariff barriers, and they are in a way closely linked to the climate problems. The new production circumstances that many producers face ask for different ways to treat production, and quite a few of those substances are more and more banned and make it more difficult to get, for example, to the European market. So for me, you could say the turnaround from globalization to more protectionistic and nationalistic, let's say, trends are a trend that are a big threat to our business.
You're still muted, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you. Sorry. I think my wife's got control of my button. Matthias, your comments, please. And please also just respond to this problem about climate change. I mean, and the role that your organization could play in helping some of these countries repurpose their activities for produce that to suit that would future-proof them.
Yeah, well, in post-harvest, of course, we try to maintain quality as we have at harvest. But more and more, we have to deal with those climate changes. That means I remember a few years ago when Ecologistic was in Antwerp, and the World Bank showed also the water availability in the next years, and then you see that it will be there will be more extremes. And as Franklin already said, and Michelle also, then you have an other quality at harvest, and together with the restrictions the consumers have on chemical use and packaging, then you have a real challenge to transport your high quality, so to say, or to maintain your quality to the consumer. So that means that maybe your shelf life will be shorter, so you have to be more efficient. I think that the prediction of the quality or the control of the quality is that it is more has to be connected to the production itself. So the information which is available in from production should be used more and more to control the quality within the supply chain, so that that means that you have more connection in the whole within all the actors of the supply chain and more communication, and then you can have also a better distribution, I think. But yeah, I think you all will also will see some movement of production areas most likely, or other varieties will be pop up which can handle diseases like the fusarium, or diseases like or gross production conditions like very high temperatures or very dry seasons, etc., or wet seasons. So there are many different points of view, but I think in the end you have to be more efficient and more you need more control of your quality within the supply chain.
Okay. Thank you. That's great. Thank you very much indeed. We've got through that pretty effectively. Let me just have a look here. The next topic is really we're moving on to the last one now, and it's it's numbered topic 5, but it's actually topic 4. Future of and ideal supply chain. I mean, you very graphically outlined some of the issues, how the market's changing, and the challenges that everybody faces. It's quite difficult and quite complex. If we were able to look at the business in 10 to 15 years' time, what would you wish for the industry, and how would you see the supply chain as changed? And we talk about cooperation, and there's a question come through to that effect. I mean, a lot of the supply chains are still very fragmented because of the current model. How would you see that changing in future so that we get the cooperation needed to deal with some of these problems? And thank you, Franklin.
I was thinking you will ask me in the end. Well, first of all, I think that the cooperation is very important, because if you have a great cooperation and a long-term, let's say, strategy together, that you can also set goals together. And if I look to the supply chain currently, I think that that if we work together and we will set goals together, that you can also have a much more flexible and a more sustainable, let's say, supply chain base. One example is biofuel, for example. If you talk about having your supply chain, let's say, carbon neutral, and supply chain is a big, let's say, contributor to the carbon, and you will set up long-term agreements, then you can make sure that you have a carbon neutral value chain as soon as possible. So from a sustainability perspective, I also think that the future will be maybe it's a future not in the coming 10 years, what you are referring to, but that we will have sailing ships that will, let's say, move our products from South America to Europe with the wind. But that can only be done if you work together. If you have, let's say, 1-year contracts, then you will not invest together. The second part I would like to, let's say, challenge the value chain is just-in-time deliveries and more speedness in handling our products. Like I said in the beginning, moving our products is very key. Just-in-time deliveries is very key to, let's see, at least secure our quality. And as last point, is working together more from a specifications perspective, because you can always demand whatever you want, but it should also been done in our production areas. So if you claim that you want to have 50% of your MRL scores, then it will also affect, let's say, from a production perspective. I would like to challenge all of the contributors into our value chain to cooperate more together and set the goals together and work together on the long way. So these are my points.
Thank you. And thank you for leaving us with a challenge, Franklin. And as all our sessions are being broadcast, I guess that will go down in the Cool Logistics notes and we come back up again next year. So these things will get remembered. Let's move on to Michelle now.
Yes, Steve. I one of the things that Franklin is emphasizing is partnerships. I think overall we look for a supply chain that is as effective and transparent as possible. For me, that means that that the ultimate market party, let's call it retail, and production should be linked as effectively as possible. That requires transparency from retail. What do they need? When do they need it? And do they commit? On the other hand, it means also production should commit and choose the market, choose the customer that they want to supply. The big challenge, obviously, is for parties as us. Who are not a producer and we're not a retailer, what will be our function going forward? Will we be more linked to retail and translate the demands that retail has to production? Or will we be more linked to production As a group, it's clear that we look at these kind of strategic choices, but to have control over production and be able to deliver what the market requires is very important. Maybe one element that you briefly touched that we didn't, I think, get into a lot, digitalization. And one of the ways to make the supply chain more efficient is definitely to further digitalize it, to use all the IT solutions to get information through the supply chain as quickly as possible and as complete as possible. But okay, what you see at the moment is many parts of the supply chain being automated. There's not an integrated solution. And I think for it to be very effective, we should look for ways to integrate the small size digitalizations and get and look for a completely integrated automated supply chain, at least from the information point of view.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Let's move to Matthias for your comments, please.
Yeah, thank you. In point of view of consumer, from the consumer perspective, we are used to have the one size fits all approach, that we all always want to have the same quality the whole year round. And if you talk into the future, and they have a sustainability and climate change aspects, if you take that into account, then you will have a change in also in sourcing areas, maybe where you don't have infrastructure, which is the right infrastructure for production and also for the infrastructure for transport or logistics. That means that you have more variation in quality, and you'll have more difficulties to control quality. So I think in the future you also need more a benchmark on quality, which is not one size fits all, but you find the market for all the type of qualities there are, and therefore the data collection is very important probably, and use of new technologies to get that data, to sensing part. And if you have the data, we all know that the data is nothing if you cannot have get the information out of the data. So I think the possibilities to understand data and for our research is the understanding the quality based on the data we have. Then you have, if you have a bunch of data from transport quality or product quality during transport, then you still have to know what does it mean. So we have to use the data in such a way that we get more information out of it, and that helps us to improve the supply to make the supply chains more efficient. So datification will play an important role, but get the information out of the data is therefore crucial.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Well, we are pretty much on time to draw everything to a close, so maybe I get to keep my job for next year as well. I have to say that if the concept of sailing ships comes back again, I shall probably look at going back to sea. It sounds a very attractive proposition. But you've raised a lot of really interesting points today. I just wish we'd had longer to go into a little bit more detail. But clearly, climate change is starting to have a much greater effect than people realise in terms of disease. And how commodities are going to start moving areas, and some of these countries will need help from organisations like Matthias's to repurpose their production. I mean, a lot of requests for working together for a more sustainable supply chain. We need more data. I mean, it's interesting that whereas we talk about digitization and data, that really it doesn't seem to have made reached the point where it's sufficient to be making a real difference. And it sounds like we've got a much further to go with data before we get to use it effectively. And we'll only be able to do that when everybody starts working together. And perhaps what you're saying here is that we need some supermarkets to enter into this debate next year, note to Annalise. And on that note, thank you all very much indeed. Great session. And if ever you wanted a definition of free consultancy delegates, then this has been it. Over to you, Annalise.
Thank you so much, Steve. And thank you to the panel. Just before we head to the next session, which is lunch, which is actually a session and will be hosted by Helen, I'm afraid you will have to provide your own food, but we will be there to chat to you. I just have a few notes from the team to remind everybody who is still listening, please complete the poll on the app telling us what you thought of the sessions this morning. We really are listening, we're watching, we're learning. Give us feedback, rate the speakers as well on the rate a review function on the app. Steve Cameron needs a rating as well, don't forget him. And just to highlight, the more you are involved in the app, the higher you will move up the leaderboard. And whoever is at the top of the leaderboard at the end of each day will win a free place to next year's conference, which hopefully will be physical and not virtual. But anyway, just a few points to remind you, things to do during lunch. We will be back at 2:30 with the remote monitoring session. In the meantime, please grab something to eat. Join us. The lunchtime session will be slightly different. You will all be able to put your videos on and have a chat, and Helen will be there to welcome you. So thank you very much, gentlemen, again. Thank you for a great morning, and we'll see you in lunch and also at 2:30 for the next session. All the best.
Thank you, panel. Excellent job. Well done.
Thanks, you too. Thanks.